There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, talking about the 6-5 loss to the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday night, a game in which the Rockies very much should have won, should have been able to put that game away before a late surge by the Giants. Have to tell you plenty from the ballpark in the scrum with manager Warren Schaefer. Also got a chance to speak with Bob Melvin before and after the game. And I'm going to let you listen in on some audio from Jake Bird, who had yet another electric performance, to say the least, a historic performance on top of that. But Rockies lose 6-5. They headed into the ninth needing three outs, and they were unable to get them, gave up four runs that inning, all of which were charged to Zach Agnos. Victor Vodnik ended up getting the final two outs of that inning, but he gave up two hits in the process, and those runners were charged to Zach Agnos, who doesn't even get the blown save. He'll get the loss, but the blown save goes to Victor Vodnik. Now, early on in the game, Carson Palmquist did a good enough job. He got a no decision, which is somewhat notable since he had the loss hung on him for all four of his starts. Only went four innings, scattered four hits. I did give up two home runs, but they were solo shots, and one solo shot, excuse me, that being to Willy Adames, who got a day off on Sunday and came in looking recharged. This game was played without Matt Chapman, who did go on the 10-day IL with a right hand inflammation. He dove back into first base on Sunday night in their 4-3 win against Atlanta. So he'll probably end up needing a little bit more than 10 days. Casey Schmidt started at third base. He had a single against Palmquist in the fourth and then added a home run to start the rally in the ninth inning. So it was an all hands on deck without the team's MVP and Matt Chapman. And they absolutely pulled through in a big way for Bob Melvin, their sixth win in a row. And I believe they've now played eight consecutive one-run games, too, on top of that. They lost last Monday and Tuesday one-run games, and then their previous five coming into the series were one-run games, and they win yet again. But Palmquist does not get a loss, so that was certainly a positive for him. Actually tied the longest streak to begin a career in franchise history with four straight losses before getting a no decision. Jake Bird, as I mentioned, was incredible in this game. He came in. What point did he come in? Looking at my scorecard here, flipped it to the wrong side. It comes in a little bit of a jam, not a huge one, but fifth inning. Palmquist did start the inning. He gave up the home run to Adames. Then he walked Helio Ramos. And so you got 4-5-6 coming up in the order for the Gigantes. And Jake Bird sets them down in order, strikes them all out. I think he did it on 11 pitches. Then he started the sixth inning with two more strikeouts against Casey Schmidt and Tyler Fitzgerald. And he just looked so incredibly locked in. He tied a career high with five strikeouts. And if you remember back to the performance on Friday night where he hit the first batter he faced, he inherited two runners, so the bases were loaded, and he struck out three consecutive Mets to get out of a jam and preserve a 1-0 lead for the Rockies. So those three, coupled with the five that he started the game on Tuesday night with, that's eight consecutive strikeouts, something that reliever Justin Miller was the last to do over three games, not even two, back in 2015. Franchise record, though, still held by Herman Marquez, who struck out nine straight. There was the eight straight to start the game on September 26th, 2018 against Philly, but his previous start, his final out was a strikeout. So Jake Bird, just absolutely incredible. And I want you to listen to some audio. Let's drop it in. How about right here? I talk with him pregame, just a little bit about the success he's having this year and some of the all-star talk that's been focused on him since, you know, along with Hunter Goodman, those are the two guys right now that are playing at an all-star caliber level. Easy for me to say. You know, you look at Jordan Beck and you say, hey, he's been really good. Yeah. All-star good? No. But Jake Bird, all-star good? Yes. Hunter Goodman? Yeah, I think also all-star worthy. I think the edge would probably go to Goodman at this point. But even still, what's that been like for Jake Bird to go from a reliever who, look, all relievers are going to be anonymous to some degree, but an anonymous guy with Colorado to become a player that folks around the league are absolutely talking about and are interested in, not just from the trade standpoint, but from the, hey, this guy is an all-star. He's pretty damn good. Where does that three strikeout performance against the Mets land in his all-time favorite moments, his response to that? Interesting, maybe even telling perhaps. So go ahead and listen to that. Here's me and Jake Bird talking before Tuesday's game against the Giants.
It seems like every time we talk, you add another thing on the list of just great performances and whatnot. How nice has it been to hear from, not just in Denver, but I think even outside, just all around Major League Baseball, that conversation of, hey, Jake Bird, all-star, I think he deserves a look.
I mean, it's cool, but that's not what I play the game for, and that's not like where I find my passion and my love. Although it is cool, and I know my family enjoys it a lot. So it's really nice, but my thing is more just like I like competing each day and trying to get after it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. As we talk, you know, over the last few years, just like those steps when you establish yourself or first get into the big leagues and establish, like, getting, you know, again, those being in those conversations as an all-star, like, that's a step as far as like being appreciated, again, not just by your own team, but all around baseball, all 30 organizations looking and saying, hey, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's kind of part of my personal goals. But again, it's not like that's all I care about. I'm trying to get there and to kind of have the success that is part of my goals. It's just about taking it each day at a time. So although one day it might be cool to kind of look back and be like, man, this was a really cool season and how it played out, or hopefully it continues to play out this way. For now, I don't think I can like comfortably have that mindset to be in the headspace that I need to be to compete every day. I think that's why, yeah, I think it's cool, but I don't think I can really accomplish or acknowledge that and feel good about it without kind of losing the edge that I want to have every day, every pitch.
Yeah. Definitely had that edge on Friday night. Obviously the result didn't, you know, work out. Where does that stack up for you with, you know, bases loaded, striking three guys out in a row in a 1-0 ball game against the Mets?
It's just really cool. It's that's something that I watch other guys do and that I think are the best pitchers in the game, and those are the guys I'm trying to be like. So it's cool to do that, and it's also cool in that kind of situation to get out of that, give our team an opportunity to win, also leave Senza's runs on base, and just, I don't know, that's like exactly pinpoint what you want to do as a reliever. So that was a good day.
There feels like there's been a few of those moments for you. I mean, Kyle Freeland had one earlier on the year where the bases are loaded and feels like the only way, because, you know, sometimes luck isn't on your side, so a ball will find a gap, but the only way out of this bases loaded jam is to strike out all three guys. For you on the mound, are you thinking about that? Is it one guy at a time, or do you know, like, I need to be a little sharper than maybe normal?
Yeah, I mean, there's an aspect to knowing the situation and executing your plan and your pitches a little bit differently because of the situation. But at the same time, it's not like you're going up there and like, I need to strike so-and-so out. Or you're just, you know the situation and you're taking it one pitch at a time. and just knowing kind of where, if you're going to make a mistake, because being perfect is really difficult, just knowing where your mistake's going to be, but also trusting that your stuff's going to get it done even if you miss the wrong way that you don't want to miss.
Yeah. Does that rank up there, at least for this season, as one of, you know, your highlight moments?
I think I'm putting that one in the rearview mirror right now. We're starting fresh today for the rest of the year, I think.
Also in this game, Brenton Doyle snapped an 0-for-17 streak at the plate with a double in the second inning. He ended up adding a triple late in the game when the Rockies were trying to get a few more insurance runs. They were able to do that. He actually slid almost early, almost like he dove head first into third base on a triple. And instead of like diving, like going airborne before hitting the dirt, he kind of went right into the dirt and barely made it into the bag. I don't think he took a bad route to start the game, but Jung-Hoo Lee did start this contest off with a triple, and it was a ball that I think Brenton Doyle of 2023 and 2024 would have caught. There's been a few of those. There's actually been a lot of those, it feels like, in the past 2 weeks, unfortunately. So Brenton Doyle, hopefully this is the start of something good for him. Kyle Farmer got the start at DH. He hit a solo home run in the fifth inning, his third homer of the season. First one at Coors Field. Believe it or not, Ryan McMahon also added a home run, the eighth of the season. I put out a tweet about, you know, talking with my buddy Kevin Henry, just noticing the fact that, you know, every time there's nobody on base, we're seeing Ryan McMahon come through and be successful. And when there are guys on base, there's some struggle. So going into Tuesday night, Ryan McMahon had a 741 OPS with no one on base. With men on, it was 595, and with runners in scoring position, to define that even further, it's a 540 OPS. So those more advantageous spots, McMahon is just not pulling through. But with nobody on base, he's been much better, which begs the question, could we see Ryan McMahon batting leadoff for this team? Could that, you know, possibly either bump Jordan Beck down to the second spot, at least with Tovar being out, or maybe Beck is batting third? That could be something. Obviously, you only start the game. You only do this one time, the first inning. That's it. And then you very well could come up with runners on base every single inning. But it's just an interesting thing to ponder if that could be something that we might get Warren Schaefer to look into. Ryan Ritter did have a base hit and an RBI as well. On the Giants side of things, Kyle Harrison finally gave up his first run at Coors Field. He had 12 scoreless innings in his two previous starts in Denver. Willie Adames snapped an 0-for-19 streak with the game-tying homer in the fifth. As I mentioned, Jung-Hoo Lee with the triple. He has three triples, most on the Giants right now. Casey Schmidt with the 2-for-4 game. And then Mike Yastrzemski really put the icing on the cake in a big way. Came in this game late because Palmquist is a left-hander. And Yastrzemski, a left-hander himself, began the game on the bench. So he came in late for Gerard Encarnacion, struck out in the eighth, and then had the RBI single that came through in a big way in the ninth, where the Giants ended up batting around. So you can't say enough about this Giants team, how they were able to string it together. And, you know, this loss, this blown save, this blown opportunity really is somewhat of a rarity, because, you know, the Rockies really haven't been blowing games late. Talking with Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic while we were waiting to go into the Giants clubhouse, you know, that's unusual for the Rockies. This happened a lot last year, and it just hasn't this year. They just have ultimately been getting late into ball games in which they just weren't leading. So yeah, they're losing, but they've been losing for a majority of the game. They've just not given up like this, or given up those runs just like this. So Rockies fall to 12-54 on the season, tied for the worst record through 65 games in the modern era. That's since 1901, tied with the 1932 Red Sox. And I saw something else, so many other little pieces of information about giving up or losing games late. I think the Rockies, yeah, they were 12-0 on the season when leading after eight innings. There you go. 10-1 when leading after seven. So the bullpen has been great. Giants bullpen has been great as of late. They pitched a lot better. Bivens, you know, he gave him some length, gave up two runs. But then after that, Camilo Doval, despite the two hits and the walk that he gave up in the ninth, was able to have a scoreless frame. So the Rockies lose another one with 24,000 in attendance. Another good crowd. I'm recording this very late on Tuesday night. It's actually Wednesday morning because I was going to do this from the ballpark, but there was a Coldplay concert at Empower, and there were a couple streets already closed off for, due to some protests. And once we got word that, you know, the Coldplay show was winding down, oh boy, did not want to get caught in that traffic. So still bringing you the podcast today as I do Monday through Friday, and usually on Saturdays. You didn't get one this past Saturday, so perhaps I do owe you one. What else is going on in the world of the Rockies? Some notes that I had from Warren Schaefer's scrum before the game. Jake Bird came up. Schaefer did manage Jake Bird in AAA back in 2022, the year he would ultimately make his major league debut. And, you know, nothing but great words to say. Just said, I love the Birdman, and he does. And it's nice that, you know, I think Bud Black definitely enjoyed Jake Bird. And I mentioned recently the trust that he gave Jake Bird that rookie season. And then from there, you know, it was sometimes he was in Buddy's graces, other times not. That's typically the life of a reliever. But, you know, Warren Schaefer is a big fan of Jake Bird. And with Bird, you know, having the success he's had, I'm sure there's going to be some discourse, certainly about Zach Agnos coming out from the closer's role. You know, this really being one of his first bigger hiccups. The underlying stats suggest he's gotten a little bit lucky up to this point. So the ERA withstanding, he's actually probably not been as good as his ERA. So we could see a move there. But would Jake Bird be a great candidate to save games? Sure. However, as I just kind of discussed before, the Rockies aren't leading games in the ninth inning. They're not leading games in general. But to give this team the best chance to win, the games have to be close. The bullpen has to be able to quiet the opposing team's offense to give the Rockies' offense a chance to come back. And one of the best ways to do that is use your best arms in the highest leverage situations. And a lot of those can come in the sixth, seventh, and eighth, depending on who is coming up in the opposing team's order. So I don't see Jake Bird going into that closer spot at all. Austin Gomber's name came up. He was hoping to go five innings of work. I actually pulled the box score up for this Isotopes game. I don't have it up anymore because Michael Tolia was 3-for-5, had himself a grand slam, 7 RBI. So dude got tacos all on his own. Props to him. But Gomber was supposed to go on Tuesday in Albuquerque against the Oklahoma City Dodgers. I know Bobby Miller was the starting pitcher on the other side. And Gomber did end up going four innings, allowed one run, but it was unearned. Only one hit, did walk three, but struck out five against an OKC lineup that, you know, had some potent bats in it. James Outman, Alex Freeland, who's a big shortstop prospect for the Dodgers. A couple other names I recognize. You know what? This is not a great OKC roster, but look, he's getting himself sharp, getting himself ready. And we could end up seeing Gomber sooner than later. You know, just had that start last Tuesday or last week with Hartford, four innings. Also in that one, struck out three, gave up two hits, allowed one run. So five innings was the goal tonight. Didn't quite get there, but it might not be very long before Gomber is back in this rotation after missing the first 2+ months of the season. Orlando Arcia, Schaefer said he has liked what he's seen from Arcia, including his first ever game at first base. He was a late defensive replacement on Tuesday. And Hira did get the start on Tuesday, was quiet at the plate. Ryan Ritter, the plan is for Schaefer to keep him in the mix. And Schaefer reminded everyone that the jump from AAA to the majors is now larger than ever. And once Schaefer was done, I'm not gonna say I pressed Schaefer, but I followed up and said, "Hey, can you give me some more detail on that?" And he just said that, you know, pitching in the majors has really separated itself from AAA pitching more than ever before. Teams are promoting younger players a lot more rapidly, so the talent pool in the upper levels of the minors isn't as good as it was before, and the talent in the majors has actually gotten better because of these aggressive promotions. So that certainly does make sense. Jung Ho Lee's triple to start the game, 415 to center. That was a home run, 22 out of 30 ballparks, and yeah, it would have been out at Oracle Park. Other Giants notes, they are hot off of a sweep of Atlanta. They'd won their last five, so now they've got six in a row. They'd won seven of their last 10, so now they've won eight of their last 11, and they've absolutely owned the Rockies over the last five seasons. It feels like longer than that, but definitely the last 5 years. I mean, 5 years, damn, that's half a decade. And yeah, they've just owned the Rockies. 51-17, make it 52-17 now, but going into twos, that's 750 winning percentage. So every four games they play, Giants win three, Rockies win only one. And that is tied with the Mariners. Giants are tied with the Mariners for most wins by any MLB team against a single opponent over the last 5 years. Mariners are owning the A's. I mentioned the Giants bullpen being great. They had three scoreless on Sunday. Giants bullpen has now combined for a 106 ERA and a 195 opponent's average against in their last 13 games. Matt Chapman on the 10-day IL, retroactive to Monday, June 9th. Could be longer than that, according to what Bomel said before the game. The guy who got recalled, though, was infielder Christian Koss from AAA Sacramento. He had only been sent down on June 4th, so he only played about 2 days with the Sacramento River Cats. I've got this written up over on Just Baseball, depending on when you listen to this, but I wrote up a little Rockies notebook where you can read a little bit more about Christian Koss, who was a former Rockies draft pick, was selected out of San Diego State University. Wait, is that right? Now I got to double check. It's getting late. It's getting late here, and the brain is not holding information like I would have liked. No, he was a University of California, Irvine. I'm glad I double checked that one. But he was selected in the 12th round in 2019, played the season with the 2019 Grand Junction Rockies in the Pioneer League, had third most RBI, 51 during that short season A-ball league, was teammates with Brett Doyle, Juan Mejia, even Ezekiel Tovar. I didn't get a chance to catch up with Koss, hoping to do so on Thursday, because this is his first time at Coors Field for a guy that, you know, for a period of time, a good about 2 years, you know, dreamed of debuting at Coors Field or playing with the Rockies. He would get traded in December of 2020 to the Red Sox for lefty Yoan Ibar. You might recall that deal. Ibar never ultimately ended up debuting with the Rockies and still has yet to make his debut in the majors. He was a lefty arm that had some upside at, you know, was it just that he was left-handed? Is that was the intrigue for the Rockies top brass, but that did not really work out for him. He came over to San Francisco at the beginning of last year and, you know, doing the utility man thing. So it's good for him to finally make that debut, another former Rockies draft pick. So we've got two more games against the Gigantes, 6:40, Robbie Ray, Kyle Freeland, and then Thursday, Hayden Birdsong against Antonio Senzatella. I was all set to talk about the next two starting pitchers and the fact that the Rockies could have had a series win on the line, but you can't count those chickens before they hatch, and I'm not going to say the Rockies did that, but they end up squandering a nice 5-2 lead into the ninth and lose yet another game. So at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB and Rockies Insider Channel over on YouTube, looking to go live on Thursday from the ballpark, but Thursday morning you will get a new podcast there in your inbox. So make sure you like and subscribe and leave a review. Those reviews actually can go a long way. Even if you don't write a review, just leaving the five stars can go a long way. But if you do leave a review, I will definitely give you a shout out, and I might have a gift to send you. I've been stockpiling various Rockies minutia, memorabilia, baseball cards that I keep wanting to give away to loyal listeners. So if you do that, then I will definitely return the favor and hook you up. So appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate the momentum you've given me. But that momentum, well, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.